The first 11 verses of the book of Acts serve as a transition to a new stage in the story, to another aspect of the work of Christ. Reworking in those first 11 verses, the account that was read for us in Luke 44 to 53 is the part that was read. And in these opening chapters of Acts 1, we get a retelling or recounting of this. It's interesting in these two volumes that Luke has written, the distinction he draws between them is not about Christ, or that one is about Christ, the Gospel of Luke, and that the other is about the church. But rather, these are two stages of the ministry of the same Christ. The book of Acts is about what Jesus continued to do and to teach after his ascension through the disciples. Acts is what Jesus continued to teach after his ascension through the apostles. The transition between these two stages is the ascension, which terminated or brought to a close or an end Jesus' earthly ministry and inaugurated or began his heavenly ministry. The work of Christ continues. Let me read for you just these opening verses in the Gospel of Acts, which reiterate again part of what was noted in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. We read the opening verses. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, or some translations note that all that Jesus began to teach and to do, until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering he presented himself alive to them, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying or eating with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Theophilus, probably already a follower of Jesus, a Christian, if you will, whose name means dear to God. We can at least discern that this man had already learned something about the rise and the progress of the faith in this man, Jesus Christ, apparently believing in himself in the message. Luke wrote to Theophilus to help him and others like him have a reliable account of the beginning of Christianity. The first book recorded all that Jesus began to do and to say. Something I love to note here is that the acts of Jesus and the sayings of Jesus are inseparable. What Jesus taught, he lived. What Jesus taught, he acted out in practice. What Jesus practiced was in line with what the Father told him to do. Jesus' words and deeds, what he said and what he did, were the message together. What we will see is that Jesus began to say and to do is to be continued after his ascension, after his physical leaving of this earth, and will continue quite literally until he comes again. The ministry of Jesus was the beginning of the Christian work, if you will. Luke's gospel covers this account of the beginning till the time Jesus was taken up into heaven, the gospel ending with a brief reference to his ascension before the disciples. And again, in Acts, Luke reiterates this account. The period from Easter Sunday to the ascension is both the conclusion of the earthly ministry of Jesus and the beginning of the work of the church in a profound and real way. Yet, and keep this in mind, it is the continued ministry of Christ. Two characteristics of this period. One that provided evidence, this period between Easter Sunday and the Ascension, it provided evidence that Jesus was alive. Not just one appearance, but rather repeated appearances to many people. Let me just read for you one of these accounts in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we get this wonderful account of these appearances of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 5, and we read that Jesus appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, writes Paul, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. We have Jesus appearing to so many people, and Paul notes many of whom are still alive, many of whom could give an account of Jesus' ascension, that Jesus was raised from the dead and now has ascended to the Father. This time in between the resurrection appearances of Christ are strong, irrefutable proofs that Jesus is alive. This is a good word. Jesus is alive. And they provide a basis for all that follows, the sending of the Spirit, the creation of the church, the success of the continued ministry of Jesus are based and hinge on the fact that he is alive, that he resurrected, that he has now ascended. All authority. Secondly, this time between the resurrection and the ascension was when Jesus gave instruction to the apostles for moving forward. He continued to teach them as to what it was they were to do. Sometimes I marvel at this team that Jesus had gathered. People who might seem incapable, unable, incompetent, doubting, betraying, questioning. And these are the ones whom Jesus has chosen. In between Resurrection Sunday and the Ascension, he gathers them again and he encourages them again and he affirms them again that they are to continue his ministry, beginning here in Jerusalem and then to all the ends of the earth. There's an encouragement here for me. Jesus uses us in our weakness, in our times of doubt, in our times of disinterest, in our times of question. His mission goes forth as he is seated at the right hand of God with all authority, interceding on our behalf, and has sent us the Spirit to continue moving the gospel forward. The resurrection appearances were not merely some visions from heaven, but they were happenings here on earth where Jesus encouraged the initial apostles and disciples in the continued work that they, with all their imperfections, were to do and carry forward. The apostles were those who knew Jesus and were witnesses to the resurrection. Today we can claim that we have spoken, or that Jesus has spoken to us, that he has revealed himself to us, that he has commissioned or called us into his work, that he has given us of his Spirit. Luke, however, is noting here and is speaking specifically of the initial apostles and the qualification they had as ones who had seen the resurrection of Christ. Ones whom Christ had chosen during his earthly ministry. This group is an important transitional group, binding the man Jesus with the early church. These ones who walked with Jesus and sat under his teaching here on earth are now carrying forward his message to others. And it is interesting that through them, and I want to encourage us that through us as believers and disciples, this ministry and work, this teaching and proclamation of the good news, the words and the deeds of Jesus continue through us. It is fascinating that through the ministry of people, of God's people, that people continue to hear Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, there's the ministry of Paul and the continued ministry of Jesus. And the Greek actually notes that those who have heard, our English translations often hear that you have heard about Jesus. And you have been taught about him. But within the Greek, it notes that you have heard Jesus. You have listened to him. There is a continued ministry of Christ through this band of initial disciples. And through us today, through our words and our deeds, the actual ministry of Jesus continues as he has ascended on high and given us the Spirit. When Jesus appeared to the apostles whom he had chosen, he spoke of the kingdom of God, signifying the saving, sovereign action of God through himself, the centrality of the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It was read for us in Luke's Gospel in verses 45 and 47 and Luke 24. That he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ and the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." Jesus has lived, died, crucified, resurrected, now ascended. And the gospel is to be proclaimed. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. This message given as a continued theme and witness of the church. By writing Acts, Luke was making it clear that the story of Jesus is not completed. It is not done. And this message, the good news of the kingdom of God, finds its consummation and the return of Christ at the end of the age as judge and king, at the first coming of Christ, the age to come invaded this present age. At Christ's second coming, the age to come will altogether supersede this present age. Between the two, these two ages overlap. And the message of Christ continues to go forth. While staying or eating with them, Jesus orders them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. This promise is alluded to in Isaiah 32, in Joel chapter 2, Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah picks it up, Matthew in chapter 10, and Luke chapter 12. The disciples are encouraged that when that time comes, do not worry about what it is you will say. The Spirit will give you utterance. The Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will speak in you and through you. Even when times are difficult and tough, you'll be given wisdom. The Spirit will speak, the Spirit that I will give you. John 14 to 16, those chapters speak of this wonderful gift of the Spirit. And with the gift of the Spirit, which could not be given if Christ did not ascend, is what will empower us to continue to do and speak as Jesus. The disciples might have been tempted to return to Galilee. But Jerusalem was the divinely intended scene for the giving of the Spirit. The promise of Jesus is strengthened by a reminder of the testimony of John the Baptist in those opening verses of Acts. John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized by the Spirit. You will receive, you will be immersed in the Spirit of God. Just following those opening five verses in Acts, we get a question from the disciples, or from the apostles, and they pose what seems to them to be a vital question to Jesus. Will you at this time? Jesus is speaking of his ascending, he's speaking of the gift of the Spirit, and they say, will you at this time, Lord, restore the kingdom to Israel? The Jewish hope was that God would establish his rule in such a way that the people of Israel would be freed from their enemies, specifically or especially the Romans, and established as a nation to which others would be subservient. Calvin noted that there are as many errors in this question as there are words. The verb restore shows that they were expecting a political and a territorial kingdom. The noun Israel shows that they were expecting a national kingdom. And then the adverbial clause at this time shows that they were expecting its immediate establishment. The time of this event is the secret of God. Being God's secret, there is no place for human speculation. The nature of this event is spiritual, not physical or territorial, and the restoration will be full and complete. The kingdom of God is the rule of God in the lives of people, all people, any people, by the power of the Spirit. And this kingdom of God has radical implications. Kingdom values will collide with secular values. While the citizens of God's kingdom steadfastly, in that context, deny Caesar the supreme loyalty for which he longs, which they must give to Jesus, to God, to the Spirit alone. It's a message to repent, to turn, and give our allegiance back to God, to whom it is due. Disillusioned initially by the cross, the disciples on the Emmaus Road had stated that they hoped Jesus was the one who was going to redeem Israel. This hope was rekindled by the resurrection, but still misguided, as seen by the question we've noted. There's another matter as well for the present. The immediate task to act as witnesses to Jesus from Jerusalem to the very ends of the earth. Their concern, our concern, is this: to be witnesses of Jesus, to have his message continue through us. And the scope of this task is international. It is worldwide. The question in verse 6 of Acts 1 appears to have lost its burning desire. And the expectations were lifted. And from this time forth, as we read through Acts, following the gospel, these people devoted themselves to the proclamation and service of God's spiritual kingdom. The spread of God's rule, the spread of the kingdom of God, was to take place by means of the apostles, then the disciples, empowered by the Spirit. For this task, there is promised the power of the Spirit, and they're told to wait for it. And they do, as we read through the account. Jesus is then lifted up. He ascends. A cloud noted as taking him away from their sight. Within Luke, we get the ascension. Within Acts, we get the picture that the disciples are left staring into the sky as Jesus disappears, perhaps waiting for him to reappear or for something else to happen. The ascension of Jesus serves the function of making clear that Jesus' life on earth had a definite closure after the resurrection appearances. The ascension parallels, if you will, the account in 2 Kings 2, when we have the ascension of Elijah, with the giving of a double portion of his spirit to Elisha, who would assume his mantle. It's interesting, as Elijah is taken up, many who surround Elisha ask, "Do you want us to go and search for him?" And Elisha says, "No." And they ask again, and he says, "No." And they want to go search for Elijah. And he finally lets them go, and they go and could not find him. And they come back and report to Elisha, "We could not find Elijah." And Elisha says, "Did I not tell you not to go search?" The disciples keep their eyes lifted up to the heavens, perhaps looking for Jesus to return. There's work to do. As we are given the mantle, if you will, of the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and in deed, as Elisha was given the mantle of Elijah, to go, now filled with the Spirit of God, to continue the work of Christ. With the promise that in the same way Jesus was taken up into heaven, he will return. In the meantime, let us continue the work of Christ. Let us rest assured in the gift of the Spirit and go forth proclaiming in word and deed the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now ascended and at the right hand of God. Father, empower us for this task. Encourage us to this end. Lord, might we find ourselves reflecting upon you. Perhaps at times our eyes are lifted up as we search for you in the context of day-to-day life. But Lord, let our gaze not be fixed solely upward awaiting your return, but outward. In this world that you have placed us, left us, commissioned us to carry forth your words and your deeds, to be your voice, to be your hands, to be your feet, with the promise of the Holy Spirit until you come again. Lord, might your word go forth today through this, your people. To your praise and your glory we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.